In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It would appear, my brothers and sisters, that with each passing day, the insanity and the reality of evil continues to triumph. The state of New York and other states have decided to legalize infanticide, and as a nation we stand by, and even some rejoice and celebrate. We may not be surprised at the responses of those who exist in the secular realm. We certainly are surprised, overwhelmed, disheartened, and angered by the refusal of our bishops to stand forth and to clearly point out sin and evil where they exist, even if this might cost them something, whatever it is that it may cost them. With each passing day, at times it becomes increasingly more difficult then to remain steadfast and constant when it seems that those around us, especially those who are charged with leadership, who are charged with caring for us, when they themselves have simply chosen to walk away. This is not merely a dereliction of duty. This is not merely turning a blind eye. It is now turned into a complicit with evilness itself. And yet, as difficult as it may be to see and hear and to read about, again, if you are like me, unfortunately, you are drawn into reading things on the internet and listening to various feeds and blogs such that it can be times overwhelming, all the things that we must encounter. But then we come to our gospel today from St. Matthew, and we are reminded yet again of those realities that are greater than we are. We are reminded yet again that God has indeed conquered sin and death once for all. And if individual men, even whole nations, refuse to cooperate with the victory that is God's, it does nothing to detract from the victory that does indeed belong to God. Does this make it more difficult for us to live and believe and practice our faith? And the answer is sadly, yes, it does make it more difficult. But it is not an impossibility. Quite the opposite is true. The centurion is set before us as a model of the faith that the Lord himself says he has not seen in Israel. Those who should be faithful, those who should know who the Lord is and be following after him to have him heal all manner of illness, this foreigner, this one outside of the law, this one seemingly in darkness, has understood who light is and has approached him. Lord, if you will it, you can heal my servant. And not only does he entreat the Lord for this great miracle, but he also is humble enough to recognize that he should not bother the master any more beyond asking for this healing. I am a man under authority, I am a man with authority, and I understand your authority. The Lord then uses this as an opportunity to instruct and maybe even admonish not only those who are listening, but each of us as we hear yet again gospel truth. Are we able to have faith? This is not a rhetorical question. It is something that we must ask and confront every single day, precisely because of those things that swirl around us, those things that may cause us to call our faith into question. Do we have the faith of the centurion to go to our Lord and be constant with him? But as much, brothers and sisters, as this is an exhortation and an admonition to faith, it also is to hope. That virtue whereby once I cling to God, I then have confidence that God will indeed answer my prayers. And there it is, I think, oftentimes where we who are believers may actually falter. We believe in God. We accept the truth. We seek to govern our lives by that very truth. And that oftentimes we act and behave and live in the world as if all of it depended upon us, our own gifts, our own strengths, our own native talents. We don't believe that that which God has indeed promised will be applied to us. We might accept hope for others. We might see it make manifest in the lives of others, but to believe that it applies to me may at times be difficult. But if I am a man, a woman of faith, I am compelled then to likewise be a man and woman of hope, indeed confident that the Lord will answer my prayers, that the Lord understands the direction and the trajectory of life, and indeed, even if I don't fully understand that, I can have confidence with him. I must admit, I am constantly confounded by the weakness and the failure of our leaders. But then I look at my own weakness and my own failure. And certainly I must cautiously upbraid others as I admit to my own failures and my own sins and my own weaknesses. But then I find myself coming back yet again to our gospel and realize that as much as I might fail and sin, God is infinitely more powerful than my weaknesses and my failures. And God's providence will never be thwarted by the sin or the evil of men. This is what our faith tells us. This is what then is commanded of us, that we be men and women of a fervent hope, most especially when we might find that hope being threatened by the darkness of the world. I try to be truthful and honest with you, and oftentimes maybe I'm a little bit too honest with you about the things that we must confront. But you all live in the world in a way that I do not, and therefore you confront these realities more regularly, more frequently than I do. It is incumbent upon me to arm you with the greatest gifts that we can receive. Of course, the greatest is our Eucharistic Lord, who we are about to receive, taking him literally inside of ourselves to be fortified against the things that we confront in the world. But also a constant exhortation to that virtue of hope, precisely because the darkness seems to be gaining the upper hand. But it is not, brothers and sisters. Because Christ is victorious. God is in his heavens. He has conquered sin and death throughout the whole world, past, present, and future. What is required of us is to live as men and women who cling to this truth and then who move throughout our day, throughout our life, knowing that this truth will indeed be applied to us. At the end of our epistle, we are exhorted by St. Paul in his exhortation to the Romans to be not overcome by evil. As powerful as evil may be, we must resist it. But instead, he tells us, overcome evil with good. The greatest good is what we are doing now, loving and worshiping God because he is worthy of our love and our worship and our adoration. But the beauty of this relationship into which he has drawn us, whereby we love him with every fiber of our being, not only does he return that love to us, he then, in that intimate relationship, gives us the strength and the courage we need to go forth and to love in the world, to love our neighbors, to love those of like mind and disposition, but most especially to love our enemies, to love those who persecute us, to love those who seek to destroy us. This has never been an easy task, and it will never be an easy task. But it is not an impossible one, because with God and by an outpouring of the Spirit, all things are indeed possible with him and through him and for him. And so as we draw near yet again to the altar of sacrifice and give God thanks for having drawn us unto himself this day, let us pledge to ask for an increase of faith, to go to God when we need him most, to ask him for those things that we think we need and allow him to give us those things that he knows that we need. And then in that faith, find our hope and our constancy in him, doing good works in this life in order that the goodness that is God himself, as it has done, it may continue to be, conquering the evil that is in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes.